At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi, I'm Jan Kepler, and this is Two Voices, One Journey.
Hi, and I'm Frank Kudla. This is the place to go when you want to hear two extraordinarily ordinary people in self-indulgent banalities and pet peeves. So anyway, Jan, it hasn't quite been a week since our last episode, but it's been a pretty good couple of days.
It has been.
And we had the F1 season ended today.
Oh, yeah.
The outcome was a McLaren driver won.
Yep, so I'm really glad I got the McLaren shirt at the beginning of the season because that paid off.
Unfortunately, it was the wrong McLaren driver.
No, mine is a generic McLaren. It wasn't a Piastri shirt.
No, your shirt was a generic one, but I mean the driver that won today.
Oh, yes,
was not it the one you wanted.
It wasn't my Oscar Piastri.
Yeah, it wasn't Oscar Piastri.
No. It was Lando Norris, who's very good, talented driver, obviously deserved to win.
Yeah, and Max Verstappen won the race. He's won the last three or four of them in a row. Mm-hmm. To kind of prove, I think he said something about, I think we proved to them who's the fastest.
Yes, yeah.
And he is definitely the fastest
in the second half of the season. Contender.
So we went through some trials and travails with a new PC, which I know you love, and you've got it set up now and working. But can you contrast the setup of a PC compared to the setup of a Mac?
Okay, so this show is going to be explicit, right?
Okay.
The rating is going to be explicit.
Absolutely. Because,
oh, my God. It's just horrible. I haven't set up a PC myself in over 20 years. Let's see, how long have we been together?
22.
Okay, yeah. I think you converted me like the first 6 months after we met, but it was not pleasant. I have to say, it's up and running now. I really strictly just wanted it for Excel and not the Mac version. But anyway, after a lot of swearing, it's finally working.
I feel vindicated, but I know it'll work for you and you're comfortable with it because that's what you use at work.
I know.
At least while you're still working anyway. So, yeah. And then today we had a wonderful brunch-lunch combination with friends of ours, Doug and Judy. Doug's got the band Audio Avenues, and he's been playing some gigs around here in Orange County. Try to get out to see him again, and then we've set up another date with them for January. So it's been a good day, and it's been a good couple of days in a row.
Yeah, it's been good weekend.
So I do want to comment. Last episode we had so much material that we had to really split the episodes into two parts. So this really is part two of last week's or the last most recent episode. The theme is the same. Donald is taking it. He's taking it on the rump here, and he's got an ample one at that. But one of the things I want to talk about, and I know we got really two main topics today, is retributive persecution. I guess it should be retributive prosecution, but I call it persecution. These are the people that Trump is going after, basically as revenge. I mean, it's retribution for people that didn't support him or like him,
right.
or made a negative comment.
Actively investigating him for
crimes for which
he was convicted.
Yep. Well, the first one was Liz Cheney. She's the former Republican congresswoman who investigated January 6th. She was one of the Republicans that actually stood up and wanted to investigate January 6th.
Right.
Well, she's had her security clearance revoked, which is a dangerous thing when you go against MAGA and you revoke people's security clearance, I think. But the other one was Dr. Anthony Fauci, former COVID response leader. He had his government security stripped.
Yeah, which I don't know, which I think that's worse, actually, than security clearance being
revoked. Yeah,
because
he's a bit more controversial figure.
Well, yeah, and plus then they just badmouth him for the little maggots to go out there and do something, too. And so now they don't have any security, so it's, wow.
General Mark Kelly was the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He's facing a Defense Department investigation, and Trump has accused him of treason. I don't know the exact details of that one.
Well, because it's probably bullshit, so...
Yeah, I don't think the details will come out exactly on that, but he's been accused of treason and is under investigation. Christopher Krebs was a former top cybersecurity official. Mm-hmm. He was fired in 2020, so he was one of the early firings, the retribution firings. He did that before he left office, for saying that the election was secure.
Right.
He had his security clearance revoked in March 2025, and he faces a federal investigation again. For saying that the 2020...
I don't know. Well, I mean, all the federal people are on Trump's payroll. So, I mean, you got Pam Bondi and Cash Patel and Bongino and all those people. They're just, you know, he's just sicking them all over everybody that ever didn't agree with Trump.
Here's another one. Miles Taylor. He's a former DHS official. He wrote an anonymous 2018... I guess it was an anonymous
for long. I was going to say, I wouldn't say... formerly anonymous.
Formerly anonymous 2018 New York Times op-ed critical of Trump. Now he's under Justice Department investigation. So we don't have a free press.
Yeah, don't ever sign your anonymous letter with your own name. Bad idea.
James Comey, this one turned out good. He's the former FBI director. He was indicted. However, that's been thrown out by a federal judge since the indictment went down. And also Letitia James, the New York Attorney General who prosecuted Trump's company for the... the messed up record keeping is really what it was. It wasn't really tax evasion.
Yeah, that's really what it was. Kind of the Pete Rose thing. It was, unfortunately, what they actually got to trial on was the least offense.
Yes.
Of all of the things. But I think she was, the deal with her, and I know there's somebody else too, is this, Adam Schiff. Mm-hmm. Shifty Schiff, the mortgage fraud.
Yeah.
Which, you know, like you lied on your mortgage application.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people don't probably exaggerate or don't exactly remember stuff? It's so blatant.
Well, they said if she did, she saved $50 a month. So what a big crime. Yeah, mm-hmm. what a big time criminal. Yep. But both Comey and James's case were dismissed because Trump had installed illegally a district attorney.
Right. Well, she was, I guess, on a temporary status until they could have one that was confirmed. And she used to be one of Trump's legion of personal attorneys. She had no prosecutorial experience, nothing. I don't know. I'm trying to think of what she did. Probably real estate. But anyway. And after a certain amount of time, you're invalidated because you're just in there as an interim, unless you're confirmed. So she overstayed her welcome and they threw the cases out.
Which is good. I don't think they're going to re-prosecute those cases. I think that's done. Jack Smith was the former special counsel who investigated, who released on January 14th of this year, details into former Donald Trump's actions regarding the 2020 election and then the handling of the classified documents.
Yeah.
And that ended up going nowhere. But now Trump wants to be reimbursed. So.
Oh, yeah. He's suing the government. He's suing us for $230 million. For, I guess, the FBI search of his home in Mar-a-Lago, which he was alerted to in advance, so they knew they were coming in. He was also told repeatedly to return the documents. They gave him multiple chances he wouldn't. So he's going to... Right, I read something about this, too, where there's people that have been incarcerated for decades, and it turns out DNA evidence, whatever, that they were not guilty. And so they get some sort of restitution. They get out of jail, and they actually get some kind of restitution for it. They do. I know you're looking at me.
I don't know where you're going with this, that's all.
Okay. Well, what I'm saying is out of all the people, I guess, in the last 100 years that has occurred to, that have been given restitution, Trump's claim is flimsy, and he's asking for more money than all of those people together.
Oh, you mean people that legitimately received retribution.
Right.
They were found later. They were found not guilty of a crime that they were found guilty of originally.
Yeah, not retribution. What would it be?
Did I say retribution?
Yes.
No.
Restitution.
Restitution. Okay. Yes. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
But anyway, Jack Smith is
under... We just had that deer in the headlights. Like, we're both looking at each other going, what?
So Jack Smith is under investigation. Mm-hmm. CBS, ABC, and NBC are under FCC investigation for bias claims. Might be false claims, too. Now, Fox is not. But the interesting thing there is I don't think the FCC has any responsibility or any power over Fox News because they're cable. And I think the FCC is the only things that are broadcast across the airways. That's what the government controls is that.
You're right.
So I guess Fox escapes it. Not that they would get persecuted for it.
Yeah, it would be like Russia not getting any sanctions. Or tariffs, excuse
other
me.
Other things that he's done since he's been back that are retributive, the Associated Press was barred from the White House events mm-hmm. for not using Trump's Gulf of America name. Mm-hmm. They said Gulf of Mexico. Shame on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then Harvard University was a big thing in the news. They had $2.2 billion in federal grants frozen after refusing the administrative demands. And that had to do with DEI and some of the protesters. And just they were too liberal, basically.
Well, you know, the Pentagon, Department of Defense, they've, or whatever you want to call it, have limited access for the press. And then there was actually that big walkout because they were supposed to have anything that they would produce screened, even if it wasn't top secret. But in there is, and I know we saw it on Saturday Night Live too, but literally Matt Gaetz is in there and Tony Lindell. Mike Lindell. Yeah, the MyPillow guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a that is
this is really an equitable and fair arrangement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the demand of the Pentagon was that they can only report what the Pentagon said.
Right.
So why do you need reporting?
Right.
You couldn't investigate and do anything further.
Yeah, unclassified stuff. They couldn't do anything.
But that's all I wanted to. That's all I wanted to have on that topic is just point out some of these people that have been prosecuted or persecuted, depending on your perspective, for falling on Trump's wrong side. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this represents a systematic campaign that extends well beyond typical political disagreements into what many legal experts have characterized as authoritarian behavior. I would say that is about right, going after your political foes and people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And suppressing the free speech and
no dissension.
Making the press the enemy of the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Playbook.
In other news, before we get to the next big topic, Doge is gone. They still have 8 months left or 7 months now on their mandate, but they are gone. I just imagine all the good people that got indiscriminately sacked. It definitely has hurt the nation. 300,000 people indiscriminately sacked. It wasn't based on meritocracy.
Yep.
It wasn't based on incompetency.
Nope.
It was just if your head was above the grass line, the mower cut it off.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty bad. And then I guess the Trump and Musk romance is over.
Well, I don't know, because Musk was invited to something at the White House. I can't remember what it was. All I can recall is that in the photo op with the other tech bros, he's standing there. He had some incredibly oversized shoes on.
Musk.
Elon. I mean, it's anyway.
Interesting.
Somebody likened it to, it's like a woman stuffing her bra is a guy wearing two big shoes. Anyway.
So next thing I'm going to discuss are pardons. Jan has a statistic comparing the first term and mm-hmm. so far 9 months or 11 months into this term.
So President Trump granted 238 pardons and commutations in the first term.
4 years.
Yeah, 2016, 2020. So to date, less than a year into his second term, he's issued almost 2,000 pardons.
That's busy. That's pretty incredible. Most of those numbers are made up of the January 6th Capitol attack defendants.
That's, I think, close to 1,000.
That's 1,500.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, about 1,500 people.
Wow.
The crime included various charges, including assault on law enforcement, obstruction, seditious conspiracy, and using deadly weapons. Some of the notable individuals that got a pass on this were Stuart Rhodes. He's the Oath Keepers leader.
Oh,
Enrique Tarrio.
The guy with the eye patch.
Yeah, Enrique Tarrio. He's the Proud Boys leader.
Mm.
And Dominic Pizzolo, he was the first to breach the Capitol. He's the first one that broke in.
Mm.
And, I mean, all were serious crimes.
Oh, yeah.
But all those people fell on the right side of Trump. And some of them have gone on to commit other crimes now.
Oh, they definitely have. Yeah, if they've been released from jail.
I don't have that list.
And committed other felonies. So.
Yeah, I don't have that list. But some other notable ones that got, and then I want to go into some of the people that really did a lot of work to get their pardons. But Rod Blagojevich, the former governor of Illinois, his crime was political corruption. That's where he was trying to sell Barack Obama's vacant Senate seat.
Oh, yeah.
To the highest bidder.
Right.
He said, I'm going to get paid for this. I mean, they had him on the phone, basically asking for money.
Oh, gosh. He probably signs his anonymous notes, too.
Yeah. And there's Michael Kelsey. His crime was illegal campaign finance scheme. Mm. He was a Tennessee state senator. He's out. He was originally sentenced to 21 months. He got pardoned. Michelle Flore. Her crime was wire fraud. She misused $70,000 and raised raised for a slain police officer memorial for personal expenses. That's pretty bad. Not only is it a crime, but it's a terrible thing to do.
I know. Well, I mean, apparently, and I know you're going to continue with your list, but there were 70 pardons, and they were issued in a batch. I don't know if they all went out the same day, but basically it was all the people that were helping with the trying to overturn the 2020 election.
Oh, well, Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, yeah.
He was in there.
Sidney Powell. John Eastman.
Yep. And these were preemptive.
Yeah, because they're not even facing federal charges.
They're not facing any federal charges. Yeah, these were just preemptive pardons.
Right.
Just in case. They got to get out, like in Monopoly, mm-hmm. you'd get to get out a jail free card. You hang on to it until yeah. you're going to jail.
I don't think it covers you, though, for civil crimes.
Well, it doesn't cover for civil. I don't think it covers for state either. Oh. It's just federal.
Okay.
So if somebody brought them up on
there
state charges, they could still get it.
Okay.
But anyway, those were some of the notables. Actually, I got a couple more here, if I can find them. Oh, these were... these are the clear loyalists that got away with it. Steve Bannon. Ugh. He was pardoned. He was pardoned for his border wall fraud. Michael Flynn, the first national security advisor of many that he had, was pardoned for lying to the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Stone, we know this guy,
wow.
longtime friend and informal advisor, pardoned for lying to Congress and witness tampering. serious crime. He got pardoned. Paul yep. Manafort, 2016 campaign chairman, mm-hmm. pardoned for financial fraud. George Papadopoulos, campaign advisor, pardoned for the Russia investigation charges. Rudy Giuliani, we already mentioned him, his personal lawyer, he got a preemptive pardon. Mark Meadows was a former White House chief of staff, preemptively pardoned. Sidney Powell, we already mentioned her.
Yep, yep.
She was preemptively pardoned too.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are some family and close friends that got pardons. Charles Kushner.
Yeah.
He's Trump's son-in-law's father.
Yeah.
And he was pardoned for tax evasion mm-hmm. and witness tampering.
Right. And, all these people, he was found guilty on all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Uh-huh. And there's some politicians, but we did mention Rod Blagojevich. Duncan Hunter, he was a former California congressman. He was one of the first to endorse Trump in 2016. He got pardoned for campaign finance violations. So you're going to be the first to endorse Trump against you to get out of jail free card.
Talk about preferential treatment. Can I just
sure.
interject for a second? I thought it was very interesting that the pardon power, or the power of the pardon, is part of the Constitution.
Yeah.
I mean, it is in there. And I guess basically it was in there because when laws are broadly fair but maybe unfair in a particular situation or an instance, a pardon allows for, they call it selective deviation. And so sometimes it's used as a correction, like when the social conscious or consensus behind a particular law changes. Like Jimmy Carter, he pardoned all of the Vietnam War draft dodgers that
yeah.
for conscientious reasons
objections, yeah.
yeah, didn't go. So things like that. But when you allow the president to do this, I guess... one person was saying it leads to a friends and family kind of approach because Joe Biden exempted Hunter
yeah.
from charges brought
which
by...
Which he said he wasn't going to do.
I know.
But that, I mean, it's his son, I don't know. I mean, but Biden didn't issue it anywhere near as many...
Oh, no. But I mean, pardons have become a shortcut to a separate system of justice
yeah.
is kind of the deal. And so and Trump is just expanding it in nature and in scale. And I guess... in spring, he fired the woman that was in charge of the pardon office because she refused to recommend reinstating gun ownership rights to Mel Gibson. So she got the axe. And the Wall Street Journal said that pardon seekers were shelling out to hire lawyers and lobbyists who tout access to those in the president's inner circle to seek pardons.
Yeah.
Sad.
There's just a lot of examples. There's Paul Wolczak. His mother raised millions of dollars for Trump, and he was pardoned. She donated $1 million at a Mar-a-Lago dinner.
Okay.
Sit down. And her son, I forget what he was in jail for, but he got a pardon within 48 hours.
Of the donation.
Because of the donation. Oh, yeah. Well, I would assume it was because of the donation. Right. Yeah, cause and effect. It's hard not to correlate those two.
Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm.
But, and then the last one was, I can't really pronounce it, it's Changping Zhao.
Yeah.
He's the Binance CEO with Trump family cryptocurrency business ties.
Mm-hmm.
He got a pardon, and he was up on some big stuff. He was serving, like, I don't know. He wasn't as bad as the...
He was failing to report the use of the platform, his platform, by terrorist entities and individuals sanctioned by the U.S. government.
Huh. Yeah, that's,
So he invested, I guess, a $2 billion investment into the Trump family.
Into their
crypto coin.
Their crypto coin.
And then all of a sudden, ding, you're out of jail. So, I don't know. The ingenuity of Trump's initiative is that it's explicitly permitted by the Constitution that states that the president shall have power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States. But the power can still obviously be abused, and it's the other thing I think too is like a lot of these things where when he's asked about somebody that's been pardoned and doesn't know who it is, I think his minions are probably doing lists, or you've got like lobbyists in there to get people pardoned, and they're getting agreements. I mean, talk about the auto pen.
Yeah, well, who did he just pardon to? The Honduras former president.
Oh, yeah, he's a narco-terrorist.
Yeah, he was sentenced to 40 years plus life 40, or something.
Yeah, 45 years.
45
years. And drug smuggling and just exactly what we're blowing up boats, you know, in the ocean over. It makes no sense. Oh, except, no, he wrote Trump a very flattering letter.
From jail, that's right.
And complimented him, and so all of a sudden... Bada bing, bada boom, he's out.
That seems to work. You saw that in this kind of unrelated, but related to the praising or complimenting Donald Trump is Steve Witkoff had told his Russian counterpart, the negotiator for the Ukraine settlement. Mm-hmm. He said that what Putin should do is be more obsequious to compliment Trump and tell him what a wonderful job he did with the Israeli conflict.
Wow.
And
so flatter him.
Flatter him.
And God.
Yeah, flattery will get you... What, there's a saying revolving around that, but...
Whatever.
So what else you got on pardons? Anything else?
I think that's about it. There was something else going on, but I can't remember what it is. So I will just segue to, are you listening to anything?
Actually, this week I had a very good week of listening. I had trouble deciding which album I was going to play the most, but I went back to 1978... The Blues Brothers, A Briefcase Full of Blues. It's the debut album of the Blues Brothers, the musical alter egos of comedians Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi. What began as a recurring sketch on Saturday Night Live transformed into a legitimate blues revival band, backed by some of the finest session musicians ever.
That is my favorite movie of all time, and it is because it's because of the music.
The music. Aretha Franklin's bit in the restaurant was just fantastic.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, everybody in that blues band.
Yes. Well, the reason I went to that was because Steve Cropper, who is mentioned on the 78 album as one of the guitarists, he's quite famous in the blues circle, had just passed away at 83 or 84 this past week.
Oh, okay.
So it just reminded me of Steve Cropper, and I just remember John Belushi saying, Steve Cropper on guitar.
Yeah, right.
And that's all I remember specifically.
Well, and then Dan Aykroyd, you know, the whole House of Blues.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was really into it. They really supported it.
Oh, yeah. And Belushi had a good voice. I mean, he kind of screamed a little bit, but it worked out very well. They had legitimacy with that band that was back. Well, even Doug today, our musician friend, just said how incredible the studio musicians were that were playing behind them.
Oh, yeah, they were great.
I wonder how they even got them to do that. Two comedians.
Know. Murph and the Murph Tones.
I don't know how they did that.
But
the album was released in November of 1978. It was recorded at Los Angeles' Universal Amphitheater. The Blues Brothers Band was featured an impressive lineup, including Steve Cropper, who I just mentioned,
mm-hmm.
Donald Duck Dunn and Booker T and the MGs, horn section Lou Marini, Tom Malone. Anyway.
Ray Charles.
Bruce, they did some Ray Charles stuff, too. It's primarily rhythm and blues and souls. Rhythm and blues and souls from the 1960s.
Yeah.
Anyway, what could have been a novelty cash-in turned out to be a surprisingly authentic and spirited tribute to classic rhythm and blues. In fact, Billboard's top 200, mm-hmm. it went to number one, and it sat there for more than a couple of weeks. And this was before the movie.
Oh, really?
Because they came out with the movie soundtrack, which was different than this live album.
Oh, okay.
Because there were some other songs that they did within the movie.
Yeah.
And I think the Rawhide was one that they did
yes,
in the movie.
Yes, that's right. Because I was listening to the album the other day, and I was waiting for Rawhide to come up.
Yeah. No, that was in the movie. That was something that was added later. But there is a soundtrack that does include, I believe it includes Rawhide. But anyway... Definitely give this one a lesson. Yeah, number one in the Billboard 200. Yeah, it went double platinum. So what is that? Is that selling 100,000 or a million? Platinum is probably a million. Gold is like 100,000. Platinum is like a million.
Is that what it? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. The could definitely be wrong.
But I highly recommend the movie. The dancing.
If you live through the 70s and 80s, the movie will definitely resonate. Mm-hmm. But so that's what I was listening to.
That was fun.
It was a good time. I saw that movie in Kansas City in 1980 when I was on a bicycle trip cross country, and it was 103 degrees in Kansas City. We were having a terrible heat wave. In fact, the cattle were passing out, and we just couldn't bike during the day. We biked at night across Kansas, which was a wonderful experience. But anyway, in Kansas City, the movie had just opened, and so we went to see in the middle of the afternoon in 103 degree heat in Kansas City. You don't think of for that kind of heat. Got to see the movie, and it's really stuck with us. Plus, that was a very impressionable time in my life. I think it was 18 or 17 or 18 like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Really stuck.
They were great on the show when they did it as skits.
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's all we've got for you this week, or at least this episode. And just want to thank you for joining us on this winding road. Mm-hmm. And we'll see you around the next bend.
Thanks. Bye.